Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Cella. I am your host, Veronica Vilsky, and we are here talking to Daniel Rose Marin from the USA. Daniel attended our school in Lima, Peru. Bienvenido y gracias.
Oh, de nada.
Daniel, can you tell me a little about yourself?
All right. I am a high school teacher. I'm a retired New York City high school teacher, English teacher, literature, you know, writing, stuff like that. And I retired about 5 years ago, and I'm born and raised in New York City. And I studied Spanish when I was in junior high school. That's when I began, and then through high school, and then a little bit in college, and then I sort of left it for many years until I retired and started studying a bit with Rosetta Stone when I retired. So how's that for a start?
That's excellent. So what led you to choose Spanish or choose to go to South America for an immersion program?
Well, good question. I knew that I needed an immersion program to try to move toward fluency, and I had never been to South America. And I realized that if I'm going to learn it and use it, probably South America would be the best environment to do that because it's nearer than Spain. And I guess more practical for me to go there and learn there than Spain.
Definitely. Did the Rosetta Stone curriculum really help set you up for success before going?
I would say that the Rosetta Stone, was one support or aid that helped me because I was working on it on and off over a number of years because I did retire almost 5 years ago and I started and then I left off and then I came back to it and left off. I will say that knowing that I was going to be entering an immersion program in Lima particularly re-motivated me to get back on track with it. So I would say that, yes, it definitely helped to some extent.
Good. So what did you, in retrospect, what do you think it helped with the most? Like,
well, I think it helps helps restore a lot of vocabulary in the way that it teaches. It has as you may know, it has an audio and a visual system. So you're pretty much seeing what you're learning as you're learning it. And then it's also very recursive in that you're always returning to the same concepts, the same words, the same vocabulary, the same verbs, the same situations, but you're returning it to it in a number of ways, whether it's through reading or writing or listening or speaking. So I think that recursive, repetitive nature of it, and then maybe the variety of things that you look at and you learn about probably help you learn with it.
Good. And that helps too, to go and not feel like you know nothing, to have a good base to start from.
Yeah, it was good to get back to once I was motivated. And the motivation that I think I needed was knowing that I'd be going to Lima to study. I think without that motivation was a little tough. I also started taking classes back in December. There's a meetup conversation group, conversation class here. It's called Easy Español, and it's led by an Ecuadorian who's quite experienced in language learning. I take it on Friday nights. As a matter of fact, that's why I had to time this with you. It's about a 15-minute walk from here in Manhattan, and that gave me just enough time to get something to eat, eat it, and then wait for your call. So that conversation class has helped enormously too. And I'm really very motivated about staying with it because while I would like to return to immersion, I don't know exactly when that will be. I'm sort of thinking about that, but I don't know exactly when.
That's perfect then.
Yeah. And he's a good teacher and it's a good class.
Good. So before you attended the immersion program, what was like your number one concern that may have deterred you from going abroad to study Spanish?
Oh, that's an interesting thing to look at. Well, I guess the number one concern was maybe how comfortable would I be living in one place where I was still only a learner of a language. And as you know, choosing to stay in hosted housing, I was a little bit concerned about how that experience would work out for me. And also, of course, you know, being alone in the city without really knowing anybody and not going so much as a tourist, but going there as a student. That was the first time I really had done that. So I guess I had my concerns in that respect.
And now that you've completed it, how do you view those former concerns?
Well, certainly they were legitimate concerns, but they were not concerns that could have or should have kept me from doing it. I'm glad I did it. It was a wonderful experience. I'm glad I stayed in hosted housing. And they were very nice people, very nice and very attentive and very caring, considerate people. I don't know that if I went back to an immersion class, went back to an immersion learning, that I would stay in hosted housing again, simply because I think I'd want to stay for about a month. I think the first 2 weeks was a good intro, and that's what I needed to try it out. But if and when I do return, whether it's to Lima or another city, or whether it's with Acela or another program, I think I'd want to stay a month, and I think I would probably want an apartment to myself, a studio, simply because I feel I need a little bit more, a little more freedom. But but that's my situation. I think maybe for other people coming at different times in their lives, or people that have different needs or different whatever perspectives, staying in hosted housing is great, especially if you're doing it for the first time.
That's what I was going to say. It is nice to do it at first to kind of get a feel for the city and everything, and then branch out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think I would have done it any other way. And as fate would have it, I have a friend of a friend now in Lima. When I went to Lima, a friend of mine on Facebook who lives in New York said, "Oh, I didn't know you were going to go in Lima. My good friend Marty King lives there. Look him up." And I did.
So now I'm
friendly with him and his partner. So I think it helps to have some friends that could help you out or be there sort of like a social system if you're not going to stay in hosted housing.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's, you know, that's one thing I will do differently. I'll probably look for a studio through Airbnb, but in no way was I unhappy with the experience of hosted housing.
So going to classes, how did your classes compare to other educational experiences you've had, either learning Spanish or even you teaching English?
Well, you know, it was kind of strange and kind of fun to be in the position of being a learner again in that kind of intensive environment. If you know anything about me, you know, I've already told you that I'm retired. So I'm 60 years old. I'm pushing 61. Granted, I'm a very young 61 in many ways. But it was interesting to find myself learning with people that were generally much younger. There were a couple of people that were at or near my age, but I was not in the same classes with them. So the people, the students I was with were much younger. And I did enjoy learning with them. I did enjoy, you know, the demands of learning, the sort of the discipline, the rigor of going there the 5 days in the first week and having that schedule. It was just the right amount of homework to look at things and review things. Of course, you know, there was a lot of focus on the subjunctive. Because as we know, I think, what did they say? It's like 60% of the language when you're speaking involves subjunctive. I don't know the exact percentage. It was either 40 or 60. So we did focus a lot on it, perhaps more than I would have ideally liked. But there was still much opportunity for us to learn and do other things and pick up a lot of other verbs and a lot of other vocabulary and a lot of other things that are important if you want to start speaking in Spanish. So, yeah, I think because it took a little bit more, I had to be a little bit more patient on my part. I don't think anybody had to be more patient with me. I think everybody was really nice with me. I had to be a little bit more patient with me because, you know, I always tell younger people, you know, my mind after all these years is so filled with so much information and so much learning and so much experiences I've had. And, you know, it takes a little longer for things to stick and to gel because there's so much stored in here by now. So, you know, the files are a little, you know, they run a little slower, but I did very much enjoy learning. And I think I did, you know, relatively well in comparison to other people there. I think I did okay.
Did you prefer grammar or conversation classes more?
You know, I guess I would say I prefer the conversation classes more. I think the first week, the teacher was a little more, I believe her name was Pilar, And I think she was a little bit more relaxed about conversation being conversation. Actually, no, excuse me. She was the grammar teacher, but she put a lot of conversation into the grammar class. And so it wasn't as obvious that it was a grammar class. The second teacher was very good. They were all very good, very dedicated, very talented, very skilled, and very prepared teachers. The second teacher, I forget her name right now, but she found articles that we read and talked about and focused on that were somewhat challenging that made the class more about grammar. So I guess I sort of preferred the conversation class a little bit more in the second week. But I think they go well together, hand in hand. It wasn't like, oh my God, I gotta get to this grammar class so I can get to the conversation class next. It wasn't any way like that. I communicated, I listened, I learned through all kind of media in both classes. So I was happy and benefited from both, I would say.
Good. I know that a lot of people, you mentioned reading articles and discussing them in class. I know a lot of times that brings out some interesting maybe stereotypes or different cultures of the students in the class. Did you find that in your experience?
The cultures of students in the class. Well, yeah. Well, occasionally, yes, it did. I think in its second week with a conversation class, I think it was. I don't remember because it was the grammar class, because as you said, the grammar class had more of the written materials and all that. There were some, there was a young Swiss German guy. And I do remember him telling us about his experience of coming out of high school and going directly into banking and first now going on to college. So yeah, I guess the readings and the conversations that came from the readings and the written work that we did give us a chance to talk about our backgrounds a little bit more and our experiences. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you said that you kind of went alone and you didn't know anyone. Well, you
That's
didn't
true.
Know that you were going to know a friend of a friend.
That's right. I had no idea.
But how long did it take you to kind of make friends or find people to do things with?
That wasn't very difficult. Not in the class. I mean, not in the school, because that young lady whose name is escaping me at the moment, as I said, my files are pretty full. She's not my Facebook friend, but the one that was in charge of creating tours and things for us and taking us on tours and stuff. So she was a great help because she would create and advertise those tours and have us sign up for the day tours and things like that, whether it was the museums or the cathedrals. So that helped because you had a little bit of a social base after the classes. And then I was able to meet one or two new people by going to Park Central, where, people see that you're American or English, and they want to speak English with you, so you can get into conversations with people there. And then, of course, my new friends there. So I think the class setting, you had that time between the two classes where you get to know each other. And then the classes themselves, because even the grammar class has so much conversation in it, and the classes are small, you do get to know and become friendly with the people in your classes pretty quickly because you're all in the same kind of boat, I guess I would say. You're all in the same kind of boat, which is a boat outside your normal life. you're on this boat together in a strange land doing something that you don't do as part of your routine, and that makes you become pretty friendly pretty quick. So and then in the house, what was interesting about the house itself is that the house I was staying with was an apartment building only three blocks down from the school. I don't know if you know that particular school or you've been to the Lima school itself, but
no, I haven't.
It's on a very nice, residential street. And so the house I was on was actually on that street. It was an apartment building, a condo apartment. And it was a very nice condo. It had a few bedrooms. It was an older couple that owned it and rented out the bedrooms. There were two other guys in the apartment in two other bedrooms, but they were not with the seller. One was a Mexican graduate student, very nice, who spoke very little English. And one was a Japanese, a gentleman who was there doing volunteer work for, I guess, the Japanese government had sent him to do, who's an engineer. And he was doing some kind of volunteer projects for Lima and Peru. So he was living in Peru for a couple of years. And he spoke very little English, too. So in that way, I got to speaking Spanish with the people in the house. And I got to meet, you know, I had a little bit of a social environment by chatting with two other people that were in the house. So I would not say that I found myself alone more than I wanted to or more than I needed to be. If I was alone, it was right for me. You know, it was it was fine. And there were more than enough opportunities for me to be with people when I needed to be. So in that way, that was fine. No problem for me.
Good balance. Good. So what did a typical weekday look like for you after your classes?
That depended on the day. There were two different ways that my afternoons went, really. One, I'm an avid swimmer. I do master swimming here in New York City. And one of the challenges for me, and I even wrote to the school before I got there, was to try to find a pool where I could do my laps. I wasn't going to find a master's class. I knew that was not going to happen, but just to find a pool. So I did find a pool not far from Park Central, that area, in Miraflores. It was about maybe 10-minute walk, 15-minute walk from the apartment building. So on Sundays, I would go and do my swimming there at that pool. And on other days, if the coordinator, whose name escapes me at the very moment, I'll probably remember it the minute I hang up, but if the coordinator planned excursions in town, I would go with her and some other classmates. Maybe I remember one time we went and we had ceviche in one of the restaurants, one of the sort of like markets. So it depended. It was either swimming or going on tours or maybe traveling around by myself during the day, making sure I had lunch at a certain point, you know, that kind of thing. So that was never a problem.
Good.
Or I would meet my friend Martin or a new friend and I would go travel. I went to the Museo of Arco with this new friend that I met. So the thing about Lima is there was so much to do. So, you know, there were lots of museums and lots of places to go and lots of historical sites and archaeological sites. So I was never bored. And if I wanted to hang out and relax, I could do that. So, you know, if I wanted to hang out in the park and just look at the cats, and I mean that, the park is filled with cats. So if I wanted to hang out in Park Central and look at the cats, I could do that. But, you know, it worked out pretty well.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you try some new types of food? I know you mentioned ceviche.
Oh, yes. I had ceviche, which I don't think I'd had in well over 20 years. It was in Puerto Rico the last time I had it. And it was really delicious. I just loved that. And I had that. I had that with the group. I had that when I went out to a restaurant with a friend. I had it, you know, in when I went to Ecuador. So that, yes. And I had the pollo ají de pollo. I had that.
Okay.
I had a few other things that the causa. So I got into some of the Peruvian foods. Yeah, I really enjoyed them. I got a little sick for a couple of days, so that delayed me. I had something I had something that disagreed with me, but I'll tell you though. One of my teachers directed me to the pharmacy where I was able to get the electrolytes. They were very good. I told the people at the school that I was sick, and they sent me right to the pharmacy, and I got the electrolytes, and I got the antibiotics, and they work really well. So they were able to help me with that, too, and I understand that's a pretty common thing. I think I ate something that my stomach was not ready for, but I understand that it's a pretty common thing in Peru. And maybe other parts of South America as well. Hopefully now I've built up the antibodies. If I go, I won't have the problem.
Yeah, because you don't want to spend any days sick.
Yeah. I didn't lose any classes, I have to say.
Oh, good.
I didn't lose. I got to classes every day, but it was a little rough going. You know, okay, so I wasn't feeling all that great for a couple of days. But then I was better. I got better. The antibiotics worked very well. And, you know, I didn't let it stop me. I didn't swim as much. I did a little less swimming for a couple of days. But other than that, I kept very busy and did lots of fun things and enjoyed the foods.
Good. Are there any trips or any of the excursions that you would recommend to someone who is going to Lima?
Yeah, someone who's going, certainly going to that amazing magic water park. Don't pass that up. Definitely don't pass that up. And of course, the cathedral tours are beautiful and fascinating. We did that. Definitely the museums and Museo Larco and the art museums are just beautiful. Good luck finding a good swimming pool. I couldn't find a good swimming pool there. I had to swim in some overheated indoor pool, but I found there is a beautiful pool and tennis club heading down toward the beach. And if I ever go again, I'm going to go there and see if they'll like cut me a deal. If I go for a month, they'll cut me a deal because it has a beautiful outdoor pool. But you know, those things can be expensive. But meanwhile, there's so much to do. The old town, the historic town, the shopping, and all the art, all the beautiful museums of culture and art there. You know, it's keep busy if you're going for. And of course, I would imagine if you're going for a month, which I'm considering, then you get into sort of a normal pattern of a lifestyle, in that you probably, do more of the things that you might normally do at home if you could do them there. Whether it's join a gym or, I don't know, you know, do macrame, whatever it is that you want to do to keep busy. But I don't think I would find myself having trouble keeping busy there if I went for a month. So good, nice town, very nice town.
Good.
Everywhere else, you have to be careful, but it's a nice place.
Yes. What cultural differences stood out to you between Lima and your home, if any?
Let me give that. It is a big city, so it wasn't like I was. Well, of course, the system of transportation is quite different. They don't have subways like we have here. It was like there was this bus that ran on the expressway that was so packed, it was amazing, and the people put up with it. I have to say, the people are very patient and very equanimous about packing themselves onto these buses that they did, and then they have these like private buses that look more like oversized vans that look like they date back to the 50s or 60s. So transportation was a little different. Of course, New York City has a very different kind of tipping and gratuity culture there, here than they have there. So, you know, here, you know.
And how is that different? Yeah.
Well, there you just give, if you want, you give a 10% tip. Here it's like you're cheap if you don't give an 18 to 20% tip. So things like that. Of course, you know, just the swimming pool. I mean, there's no way that a private swimming pool would keep their water that warm in New York. Mm-hmm. The customers would complain they would lose their customers. Let me think of some other things. I mean, the restaurants were slower. The service is slower, but very nice. They're very good and very professional. I'm thinking Lima specifically. You know, I'm not thinking about my whole trip right now. There's a lot. One thing I know is very different is that there is a lot of security in Lima. So especially in the Miraflores area where I spent, you have armed guards outside stores, outside banks, a lot of security getting in and out of buildings. I have to say they really are serious about security. And one of the most interesting things or different things was that in Miraflores particularly, they have people that money changers on the street. They're government approved and licensed money changers, and they wear these light blue vests, chalecos, whatever. And you can go up and get like change your money, American dollars to Peruvian, and it's easy, and they give you a good rate. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's pretty handy.
Yeah, so that worked out very well. I'm trying to think of anything, you know, specifically, of course, you know, the language, the clothing, all the alpaca, all the alpaca they're selling around. The pharmacies are very different. Like in New York, we seem to have these big chain pharmacies that sell a lot of stuff. But there they seem to have a lot of these small botanicas, I guess they call them, botanica. And they don't sell like a wide variety as much as you'd think a pharmacy of cosmetics and toiletries and stuff. So you got to go to these big supermarkets. Like, for example, I couldn't find liquid body soap because the hostess wanted us to use like a liquid soap instead of a, you know, Savona or a cake soap in the shower.
Yeah.
Cause she said it might, the plumbing is not that great. So I remember I had to find myself a big supermarket to get that. I couldn't get that in the smaller pharmacies. All they had was like cakes of soap. So little things like that, little things you notice that are not as convenient. Oh, and of course, one thing, as I mentioned, you can't get antibiotic. I forget the antibiotic that I went on, but you could just go into a store and ask for it, and they'll just give it to you. I think in the United States, you need a prescription for it. I just need it. You don't have to go through a whole rigmarole.
Yeah, just go get it and use it.
Yeah, and it was fine, nice. You know, and it helped. So, I mean, those were some of the differences. I didn't get a chance to do too much, you know, nightlife. I wasn't into that, didn't do that kind of stuff. So I didn't really see what the nightlife was like in Lima.
Mm-hmm.
I see the way, you know, how poverty, I could see the poverty there. Because my friends, they live in a really nice condo development, but the neighbor they live in, has not yet been, you know, not yet gentrified, and there's poverty. And I felt that they lived right near something that looked almost like a favela to me. Like it almost looked like a small shanty town in Lima.
Oh.
So, and going to the beaches was interesting because I went to the beach down the rocks at Lima and Miraflores, and that was a very nice beach. I had to walk down these beautiful stairways down the cliff to get to the beach, and that was a very nice beach, very rocky. But the interesting beach that I went to was the Chorrillos Beach, which is right next to Lima, that my friend Marty took me to. And just to see the kind of food they were selling on the beach was very different. I never saw a vendor selling different kinds of hot breads on the beach. I remember that. Oh. I found that was very interesting. People were buying.
That's not
like,
what I think of as beach food.
Yeah, I never saw that as beach food, like breads and rolls and breads and all these things. And people coming up and buying these things. They were like heating them and making them, and that was really so. It was, you know, all these kind of things. A lot of trying to think. Lima was not too bad in terms of people approaching you on the street to sell you things. It wasn't that bad. Cusco is much more intense than that, in that way. So, you know, I didn't have a problem with, like, always having to fend off, people. So, you know, so right now that's what I'm coming up with, because it is a big, urban city. I didn't realize how big it is until I started looking it up on Google before I got there. It's got millions and millions of people. It's a huge urban center. It's a big city.
Mm-hmm.
So it has just about what every big city has by now, by any big, developed city has by now.
Yeah. Well, I think we're just about wrapping up. One question I always like to ask is if you have a favorite or memorable Spanish word or phrase.
Oh, gee.
Like a new word that you didn't know before, or something that they use a lot, or
yes, well, of course, word that I learned fast and used as I had to keep on introducing myself or bringing it into the conversation was jubilado, meaning retired.
Mm-hmm.
So soy jubilado, and so that's a word that I learned, and I'm sure there were many others. Right now I can't come up with any one specifically that I remember, learning or hearing or using other than that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It's one that I was able to bring to the fore. Oh, yeah. There was one moment where I misunderstood the meaning of the word jaula. Do you speak Spanish or? I
do, but I don't think I know that one.
Jaula, J-A-U-L-A. It means, I thought it meant jail, and it actually means cage. It's a cage that you put an animal in, jaula.
Oh, so similar, but.
And we were talking about the president of, the former president of Peru, Fujimori, and the teacher asked us what we knew about him, and I said, well, I know that he's la jaula, and everybody started to laugh because it meant jail. So I'll never forget that again.
Well, that's great.
I'll never forget that it means cage and not jail.
Jail,
I think, is kind of cell, or kind of cell, I believe. So I'd have to look that up. But, you know, little things like that. I'm sure after I speak with you, I'll probably start remembering a lot of words that I that I learned that I didn't know
No, those are
before.
good. Those are good. And is there anything else in general you'd like to share with anyone listening?
Well, other than that, if you have a thought or a dream or a wish to do this and you can do it, but you have sort of practical considerations or fears holding you back, go with it because it isn't something you would ever regret. You know, that's something that I would definitely tell people to do because, you know, it's such a special and wonderful kind of experience. Right now I'm just contemplating when I'm going to do it again. Not if I'm going to do it again, but, you know, when I'm going to do it again and how I'm going to sustain whatever Spanish I have with me until I can get back and do it again. You know, what opportunities I will take in New York to keep it going or keep it growing.
Yeah. Which it seems like you're doing a good job of, so
Well, thank you. Thank you.
very
I'm
nice.
trying.
Yeah, I'm
Yes.
impressed.
Well,
Thank you so much for your time.
thank you. I enjoyed talking with you. Thank you for taking me back down memory lane in Lima. Bye.
Yep, cuídate. Bye.
Cuídate. Bye.